In today's Eco Report feature, Norm Holey interviews Jennifer Francis, a research professor at Rutgers University, about climate change and Arctic ice melt. Professor Francis has published over 40 scientific papers about the effects of climate change in the Arctic.
This is Norm Holey for WAFHB. Today I'm speaking with Professor Francis of Rutgers University. Jennifer Francis is a very highly published expert on Arctic air conditions and ice conditions. And she is a research professor in the Department of Marine and Coastal Studies. And so I understand that 2016 is kind of uncharted territory in terms of weather. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish I could tell you what it all means. It's all unfolding as we watch, but what we're seeing is a continuing trend and a very dramatic development this summer in that trend in the Arctic, and it's unfolding in a number of ways. This past several months, so going back to January through the month of May, we've seen every single month have record warm temperatures in the Arctic and record low amounts of sea ice for those particular months, so relative to what it should be for each of those months, January through May.
Now, is it true that the temperatures are actually 4 degrees Celsius above the norm?
In some places, that's absolutely true, and Arctic-wide, it's been much above average. If you take the whole Arctic cap and average it, it's been warmer than we've ever seen, record-breaking temperatures every single month. So this is a very disturbing trend, and we've seen over time the sea ice disappearing. Of course, we now have about half as much sea ice in terms of its aerial extent as we did only 30 years ago. If you take into account the thickness of that ice and multiply the thickness times the area, you get the volume. The volume of the ice has been depleted even more. It's more like two-thirds, three-quarters that we've lost in only 30 years. It's just an amazing, breathtaking signal of human-caused climate change. There's really no other explanation for why this is happening.
Now, what does El Nino do for the Arctic region?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can look back to the last very strong El Nino, which was in 1997-98, and we saw some warming up in the Arctic that year. Some extra melting, particularly over on the Pacific side of the Arctic Ocean, but we didn't see anything like what is going on this year. So you have to infer from that, yes, El Nino does contribute a little bit maybe over on the Pacific side, but it can't account for the incredible warming that we've seen up there this year. So most of us are discussing, us being people who are studying the Arctic, we know that because the ice is so much thinner now and so much more fragile and vulnerable, any trigger like an El Nino or fluxes of heat in from lower latitudes that does occur is going to set off a series of what we call positive feedbacks, or kind of a vicious cycle, you can think of it, where we start a little bit of warming, and these feedbacks kick in, and they intensify that warming up in the Arctic as we lose more and more of this ice. And so we're really looking at, as you said, some uncharted territory this year.
Why is it that these storms tend to just last forever and ever?
We think that the rapid warming that's happening in the Arctic is having an influence on the jet stream. The jet stream being a very fast river of wind that's encircles the northern hemisphere at about, say, the middle of North America. And that jet stream is responsible for creating the weather that we experience down here on the surface. It creates the storms, it steers the storms, it also creates the dry conditions that can lead to drought if it goes on for a long time. And what we think is going on is that as the Arctic warms really fast, it means that the difference in temperature between the Arctic and areas farther south is getting smaller. And that temperature difference is really what drives the jet stream. It's the main thing that does that. And as the jet stream weakens, which is something that we've actually been able to measure, we think that it's causing, there are a number of different ways that it's causing storm systems to move more slowly, and for these larger north-south swings in the jet stream to get larger also. And both of those factors tend to cause weather patterns to hang around longer. And, of course, when that happens, whether it doesn't matter what kind of weather pattern it is, whether you're in a dry pattern or a wet pattern or cold or hot, if it lasts a long time, you're increasing the chances of an extreme event.
Do you have any kind of estimate on when the Arctic ice cap may actually be melted in, you know, periodically in the summer?
Complete. Most people think that within the next 20 to 40 years, we should see conditions in the summertime where we lose almost all of the ice. And so ice-free is really anything less than what a threshold of something like a million square kilometers, which sounds like a lot, but it's actually very little that would be left. The record low ice we've had so far is a little below 4 million kilometers, square kilometers. So, you know, a fourth of what we saw in 2012 would be considered ice-free. And so something in, you know, the 20 to 40 years from now, which is not very long.
Indeed. One last question. Many people think that by 2100, we will have increased the global temperature by about 4 degrees C. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think it's a possibility. I think most estimates are not quite that high for a global average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're more in the 2 to 3 degree range, but certainly not outside of the realm of possibility, especially if we continue on the path that we're on, which is not reducing our emissions of greenhouse gases sufficiently to slow down the warming that we've already kicked into place. So, you know, it's still within our power to slow down this warming somewhat. It would take a fair bit of effort on both government levels and individual levels to make it happen, but I think it's still possible to stay within, say, the 2-degree range, which is the target that's been widely proposed as sort of being the dangerous level. But, you know, even at 2 degrees, we're going to be talking about big increases in extreme weather, very significant sea level rise, and I'm afraid that there's really no way that we can stop that from coming, but certainly we can reduce it, and that's something that we should all be doing everything we can do to try to make happen.
Yes, indeed. I'd like to thank you for a lot of information today. I've been speaking with Jennifer Francis, a research professor in the Department of Marine and Coastal Sciences at Rutgers University. Thank you very much for your comments.
You're very welcome anytime.